from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning, happy Friday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Seattle's police budget cut in half? That's the plan, and we're going to talk about it at the top of the show. Are you still waiting for your unemployment check? Hannah Scott, great last name, by the way, will join us at 9:30 to give you the latest on the money. And wait until you hear about the millionaires who got loans they won't have to pay back to the federal government, while struggling businesses got nothing. Those are the ones that we hear from that have gotten nothing. But right now, let's get started. Okay, Ursula, how you doing, buddy? Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So, before we get to this topic, can I just be honest with you right
now?
Yes. It's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher's walking into the room, and the teacher does not have the TV and VCR. Do you remember when the teacher rolled in the TV and the VCR and you knew? He's like, oh, that's what I'm talking about, teacher. You know it's Friday. Let's just chill, right?
Yes.
That's
what like, I can continue to doodle.
Yes. That's what I want to do today. I want to roll in the TV in the VCR and kind of relax. But no, I see Chef has a show sheet that's really heavy today, and we're starting off at the top. So as of right now, Ursula, it looks like the Seattle Police Department could be cut in half.
Budget-wise, yes.
Yes. Now, budget-wise. Now, when I first heard that, I said, ooh. And then all morning, I've been really thinking about that, really thinking about it. Now, go ahead. You explain to everyone the news, and then I'll tell you what I've been thinking about.
Okay. So as of this morning, 7 out of the 9 Seattle City Council members are on board with this plan to cut the budget, which is nearly $410 million. They would cut it by 50% by this summer. So if all of the 7 vote yes on this plan, it cannot be vetoed by Mayor Durkan. Mayor Durkan is not on board with the 50%. She feels like the budget does need to be changed and you know, we need to look at different priorities, but not 50%.
Okay. So I thought about it, and Ursula, and when I first heard the number, I said, ooh, wow, 50%. You and I talked about it before, and people were saying, hey, the starting point is at 50%. And I was thinking, hey, that's not really negotiation. I mean, you just talking about coming in and cutting half. That would be like my bosses saying, hey, G, listen, we don't think you're any good, and we're just going to cut your pay in half. Okay, hold on, bosses. I know I talk bad about you guys on the air, but let's, you know what I mean? Let's negotiate this. And Ursula, I got to tell you, I try to come up with a lot of reasons. I do think that there needs to be an automatic number that they start with. Like, I would have been okay with starting off at maybe 25%. They could not get vetoed. I got to tell you, I am not comfortable with the right away with the 50%. But I am comfortable that a number was made because there's always seems to be a lot of lip service. There always seems to be a, yeah, you know what? We do want better. Let's make better. Let's paint Black Lives Matter in the street. Oh, let's take a photo op. Let's do all of the things that never get to the bottom of what needs to happen. And right now, I tell you, there's a lot of people that's paying attention because the actual number has been put on there. I'm just saying I'm just not comfortable right away with the 50%. That's
well,
what I
mean. Yeah. I mean, and for a number of reasons for me. So let me give a few other details. So there was a Zoom meeting and several of the council members were involved. This was yesterday. And then groups representing Decriminalize Seattle and King County Equity Now and a couple of other groups, they are actually behind this proposal to cut by 50%, and they have 4 main points that they want to cover.
Okay.
So they say they're saying that they want to remove Seattle's 911 dispatchers from police control. They want to beef up community-based solutions to public safety. They want to fund a community-led process to, quote, imagine life beyond policing. And they want to invest in affordable housing. Now, those points, I have no issue. I haven't looked at the removing 911 dispatchers from police control.
Okay.
But, you know, the other things I think are reasonable. My issue is you say we're going to do it 50%. And we don't know how that money, first of all, remember when that shooting happened downtown Seattle when we were just starting the show? So a couple of months ago, maybe 5 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what the conversations were like leading all the way up to that? Don't have enough police officers. Police officers are being asked to do too much. We've got way too much crime downtown. There's not enough, you know, this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
But there was no talk about, my gosh, we need to cut police. We need to, because everything seems to be hunky-dory in downtown Seattle. It was all about, why aren't police responding to these things? And, you know, how is this being allowed to happen? Right? And one of the things was, we don't have enough officers. Too many are leaving. They're retiring. They don't want to work in this environment anymore.
Right.
I mean, and now, you know, we're getting more. So I have a big issue with, let's just cut 50%. Now, the other issue I have is also the tone, which will be one of the themes that I will keep bringing up, which is we absolutely need to have reform.
Yep.
But we do not need to have this anti-police feeling or this idea that all police are bad.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I have a real issue with. I want to share with you what the founder of Africa Town, an affordable housing advocate named Wyking Garrett, said on this Zoom call with five of the city council members yesterday.
Seattle has an opportunity right now with this budget process to lead the nation, you know, in how we move from Jim Crow apartheid, which is our current reality in Martin Luther King County, chief Seattle city. Jim Crow apartheid is the reality when we look at the numbers, right? And we have an opportunity to move to a new normal rooted in equity. And this budget process and the budget and the city government decisions can lead and then bring the other private, nonprofit, and philanthropy sectors along.
Hey, Ursula.
Yeah.
So far, what's been said, there is nothing that I disagree with.
I agree.
With what he said.
Yeah, go ahead. Right. Go ahead.
There's even for what he said, even from you made the comment just a second ago, you talked about what it is that they would be cutting.
Mm-hmm.
As far, I haven't disagreed with that. There's two things that have me uncomfortable. One, that you start off this negotiation with an automatic 50% cut in half, no negotiation. That's number one.
Yes.
Number two, the other thing that makes me uncomfortable is when they do cut the money, do I feel confident that the people in charge of the money are going to do right by it? And that answer is no.
Agreed.
The answer is no. Agreed. Because here's the thing, everybody. Sure, one part, fixing and reforming and cutting budget and putting those things into resources, that's great. The idea is phenomenal. But the one thing that we have not gotten to the bottom of is why, when there is money, why is there always a problem with how the money is spent? Don't tell me that's gotten fixed overnight, because money was thrown at the homelessness issue. And it always seems to be, right? It always seems to be, well, you know, there's just not enough money. We just got to get money from here. You know, let's be real, everybody. We always are voting to add money to this and give money to that and give money to this. We've been doing that the entire time. There's always, hey, if there's one thing that Seattle's good at, is voting yes on giving some money. 100%. But the money is never done with the right way. So
there's no accountability or very little accountability.
And this is, see, I knew somebody told me, gee, you get too emotional on these topics. You're right. I need to calm down a little bit. I will calm down when I feel that people are going to do right by the money. So the same people that are making the decision to slice things by 50%, that's cool. I just don't trust y'all to do right by the money. So I respect you. You got to respect me.
So let's hear from City Council President Lorena Gonzalez, who was explaining why she is now on board with this idea of the 50% and basically agreeing with these coalitions who have come up with this four-point proposal. She even apologized for past votes that supported the police budget.
In the past weeks, we have received a lot of correspondence about people saying, look, I want community investments, but I'm struggling with the idea of defunding our police. I find that interesting, given that for decades now, the government has defunded public education, affordable housing, healthcare, food access, and more. And there's no mystery as to why that defunding has occurred. It's because those are the programs that benefit the self-determination and liberation of Black and brown people in our communities. This is a long and sad track record of defunding programs that would provide us with meaningful access to self-determination and liberation. Yet funding for armed and militarized law enforcement has continued to grow, including here in the city of Seattle. And I think it's important for me as an elected official, who is a non-Black Mexican-American in this country, to say that I take personal responsibility for every vote I have taken that has contributed to the expansion of law enforcement and those legal systems at the expense of community-based investments. And I owe it to all of you to say that I am sorry for those votes.
There's nothing that she said that I disagree with. She's right. She's right about the fact that all over the country, consistently, back in my hometown of Chicago, schools being closed down. Close down those schools, have to go other places. There's never a huge argument about defunding education. There's never a huge argument about when a community center is closed down in a neighborhood because they don't have the resources. So what Lorena Gonzalez said, there's not that minute and 14 second soundbite, Ursula. There is nothing that I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
And most people listening, you probably don't disagree with it either, because you can admit and say, yeah, you know what? We are quick to defund education and nobody says a word. And we're so quick to just give money and give more money and more money to these police budgets. No doubt about it. So we're on the same page. I'm just saying still that we're starting off at 50%. And again, when we do start off with defunding at 50%, will the money be done with the right way? So I'm not saying that it's possible that it can't be done the right way. I'm just telling you what the past has felt like to me. The same way Lorena Gonzalez has apologized for some of those votes, some folks need to get on there and apologize with the way some of the spending has happened.
Exactly. But the other part is,
yeah,
if you are going to cut police by 50%, where are those cuts going to happen? Does that mean, and are we prepared? Most of it's going to have to be in the form of layoffs. Are we prepared to deal with layoffs?
Do you think it's going to come in layoffs, or is it going to be, will it start off with the amount of
budget? Most of the budget. So, I mean, they're going to have to
overtime?
Absolutely do better by their overtime, as we talked about.
We agree with that, right? Yes, we're on the same page with that excessive overtime stuff. That's how my dad made his money, is a whole lot of overtime.
Yes, but yes, but you still have to account for the number. I want to know details before you say we're going to cut 50%.
We're on the same page.
I get it. Sometimes it's like, hey, you're going to do the best you can with the money that you have. I understand that you know, they need to come up with a budget, but you will hear additional. I mean, that this meeting went on for a while, and there were a lot of things that to me sounded too much like us against them, and it felt like a little too much. Police need to be reformed. You know, police departments need to change their cultures, but I don't want to continue the rhetoric that makes it sound it's like us versus them.
You want to go to the Molly Moon?
Exactly. So, you know, Molly Moon's has a couple of ice cream shops around the region. There's one in Capitol Hill, and this one is creating controversy because there was a sign posted on their business window, as we talked about earlier this week, and it said in capital letters, "Police officers, this is a gun-free zone." And now the owner, Molly Moon Neitzel, is talking about it. And she told Cairo 7 TV that all of her shops are gun-free zones. But she put the sign up outside the Capitol Hill location in response to what happened after officers took over CHOP.
Last week, as CHOP was being dismantled and there was a flood of police officers here in the neighborhood, they were intimidating and causing some of my black and brown employees to feel unsafe.
And now, I mean, that was a much longer interview, but basically she was saying, you know, she was asked, well, do you support police? And she said, no, I don't support police as they are right now. You know, was it necessary to put, I mean, can a police officer go in there with an ice cream cone? To you know, get an ice cream cone for a child? Do they have to, you know, hide their weapons if they're in uniform?
Right.
It seems extreme. I mean, the company, you know, it is a private business, but, I mean, what message are you sending?
Why is it a big deal?
Why is it a big deal?
Why
because, again,
deal?
In the middle of a very heated time in our country and in our area, to put it out there and to actually emphasize police officers. Remove your weapons.
What's the big deal? Leave the gun in the car. Leave it at the station. The East Precinct is one block away.
It's the message.
Hey, whoa, wait a minute. Now, Chef, I was going to let you say, what? You're saying the police officers leave their gun in the car and then go into the place? No. No. Now, that is a big no. There is nothing that anybody can say that's going to make me agree with police officers. Go ahead and leave your gun in the car, and then you can go inside of the business. Now, wait a minute. Molly Moon, you guys, that's on you. You have that right. You can say you don't want law enforcement into your place. And I know there's been some text messages, and people will say, well, okay, well, if Molly Moon, if they need to call the police, don't expect police to come. Now, that's not the attitude either.
That's not the attitude of the police department. And the police department is saying that's not what we're going to do. But again, this is when words matter.
You know, it does.
You know what matters more is what police have been doing in that neighborhood. She says that they were intimidating their employees. Let me take you back a couple weeks ago to the protests before there was a CHAZ. Right outside the Molly Moon shop, that's where the police opened fire on a group of peaceful protesters. I'll play you what it sounds like. They were literally wantonly shooting people who had nothing to do with throwing water bottles or anything like that.
Hey guys, we're in the Capitol Hill neighborhood of Seattle right now. I don't know if you can hear me, but we have police now advancing on protesters. Oh my gosh, we're moving.
She just got hit by a flashbang on live TV.
We're moving.
Okay, and that's an NBC reporter.
Go this way.
So that was police firing on hundreds of innocent protesters. They deployed so much tear gas in that neighborhood, it blanketed all of Capitol Hill. The police were firing from right outside Molly Moon's window. That's the type of action that makes people really uncomfortable with police.
Okay, but that was in the middle of rioting. I mean,
there was no rioting happening then.
But in other parts of the city. I mean, you're throwing this in there. We don't, unfortunately, have time to talk about it, Jeff. So
this is what Ursula gets mad at me for.
I do. I don't like when you throw something out there, we've got to have time to discuss it. I'm not okay with that.
I apologize.
All right.
I mean,
bottom line,
you're talking about two different times. I mean, you're talking about two different things, and you are now putting out a message that says, police officers, leave your guns. We cannot treat the police like they are the enemy. They may be seen like the enemy to some people, but you're only going to make it worse.
Okay.
Right? I mean, we need to calm things down. We need to, we're calling for reform. We're not calling for more divisiveness. My point.
Mm. What y'all want to do?
Oh, we're going
to
be...
that's what I'm saying. I'm just asking what y'all want to do. Y'all want to bring in Hannah Scott to talk about the Governor Jay Inslee's use of task force and the unemployment fraud?
Yeah, we can do that.
What you want to do, Ursula?
Yeah. No, we have to talk
about... We got
to
move on?
Yeah, we have to talk about... I mean, we're going to get back to the...
We're
going to get back to this in the headlines.
Okay.
You never know what's going to happen, but...
You just never know.
I'll tell you.
All right, coming up next...
I'll calm down, in the meantime.
Yeah. Ooh, Ursula on fire. Hannah Scott joins us next to talk about Governor Jay Inslee's police use of force, task force, and unemployment fraud. It's G and Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show, Friday edition. Still ahead around at 9:45 this morning. G is going to tell you about his foray into a new alternative lifestyle. It is not as weird as that sounds, but I know I couldn't do it.
Okay, Ursula!
I'm laughing, but,
Ursula!
Oh, my goodness. My blood was boiling. Okay.
I'm just glad you're in a good mood right
now. Oh, my goodness. You know what? We discussed during the segment.
The segment break. I just want you guys to know that it is Friday, and yes. I spent the entire break laughing. What was I laughing at? I was laughing at the fact that 24 hours ago, the text line, love Chef. I mean, they were like, replace G with Chef, and oh my God, Chef, we love you. And then today.
I know. Okay, anyone just joining us right now, we will have a podcast that you can go back to. I mean, I wasn't ready to pummel Chef. He brings something up when we have 30 seconds left in the segment.
Okay.
So, yeah, anyway, you'll have to go back to that, and we will bring that back up. But it's time right now, and I want to make sure we have enough time for her. Let's bring in Hannah Scott. Hey, Hannah.
Hey, I want to know what you guys have going on in there.
I know. You're going to have to go back to the podcast because...
No time. I got
it.
Yeah.
But, okay, you've got two important topics that we want to touch on. And first of all, talk to us about Governor Inslee and the Police Use of Force Task Force.
Yes, this is a couple of dozen community members on the task force that the governor created last month. This was basically in response in part to the protests we've been seeing over the killing of George Floyd, but then also in response to the Tacoma police killing of Manny Ellis that happened in March, which was somewhat similar to George Floyd's death. The big issue there, on top of obviously Manny Ellis's death, was that the investigation was not handled the way it was supposed to be under I-940, our state's new police accountability law. So when that came to light, the governor felt it was time for a task force to come up with proposals, basically, that he can bring to the legislature this next session to kind of build on top of our police accountability law, I-940. And they had their first meeting last night. Much of it was kind of an introductory session. You have several people who have lost family members at the hands of police who are on this task force, as well as some representatives of law enforcement and others in the community. The governor had a few words at the beginning. And then everyone kind of went around, introduced herself, and they laid out some ground rules. It's an emotional thing to have these task force. I know because I have covered the creation of I-940 at length, and I know the meetings that they had there coming up with the rulemaking that ended up being the final version of that law. Got very emotional. There's passion on both sides, obviously, from those who've lost loved ones to police and then of police officers themselves. So they were trying to make sure that everybody stayed cordial, laid out those rules. But there was also some kind of skepticism. We heard from Andre Taylor of Not This Time, who was a key part of getting I-940 on the ballot and passed and on the books here in this state. He was on a task force similar to this one before, and nothing came of it. And he and some others on the task force said, what's going to be different this time? There was a few lawmakers who kind of joined the beginning of this meeting last night. And what they said was that the time is different. The black membership in the legislature is different. The number of people of color that are lawmakers in the state now are different. People are listening, and the pressure is different. It's hard to say no to these type of reforms right now, politically.
Hannah, because I want to make sure that you have time to tell us, too,
yes,
and
sir.
So many people are still waiting for their unemployment checks. What is happening with the, you know, looking into what happened with the fraud and also getting people their money?
So people, they've made significant progress from 81,000 who were waiting for their payments. We've now got it down to 35,000 or so. And the Employment Security Department Commissioner, Susie Levine, says that they are on track to have all of those folks paid by the end of the month, the end of July. They're bringing more staff again this week and have made some significant progress. And they're still dealing with some of the fraudulent issues, but that seems to be clearing out as we speak. There's a handful of people still dealing with some issues, frozen bank accounts, and struggling to get through to the ESD to resolve that, but they're working on that. So it's on the right path. It's basically the message.
Let me ask you this before we wrap, Hannah. In your opinion, I guess I shouldn't ask you this because you do news and you're a reporter, and I know it's my job to kind of do the opinion part. But do you feel like there is going to continue to be lip service when it comes to the ESD, or you actually feel like they're actually making some headway a little bit?
I think they're definitely making some headway. I think that they really must hit the target of having all of those 35,000 claims resolved by the end of the month. They can't move the target again. It's already been done.
Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate you. By the way, great last name.
Thank you. Back at ya.
That is Hannah Scott. Ursula, I just want to say that I've been distracted.
I know. So I just went ahead and just took control of that section.
Yeah, I've been distracted because I just want to say that I just love doing the show. And having Hannah talk about that was a very serious thing. But just our what we've been talking about over the last 30 minutes have been serious conversations, and they need to continue. And I'm grateful that we get to have those opinions, and even the three of us, and how sometimes we agree, we disagree. And listeners, sometimes they love Chef one minute, they hate him the next, but they still love him at the same time. So it's
that could be said for all of us.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying. Like, it was Chef's turn today, and then it'll be my turn probably in the next 30 minutes. But coming up next, here's a confession that is something that I needed to do. There's a lifestyle that I'm taking on. I'm only on day 6. It is, I don't know, it's kind of fun. And also, I got to give credit to a listener that sent me a bunch of information to help me get started with this new lifestyle. You guys know about me bird watching? Well, there's something else I'm doing now. It is the G and Ursula Show. There is a U.S. city in the United States that is proposing eliminating police from traffic stops. We'll tell you about that, and we need to have a discussion that happens at 10 o'clock. But right now, Ursula, you threw my business in the streets. And I don't know why you do that to me, because I never do that to you.
Oh, please. Please. This is so, as I said, we made it sound a lot more tantalizing. You are doing something very different. You said you're on day 6.
I'm on day 6 of being a vegan. So here's what happened. Lillian got a Traeger in the back, and I've been doing a lot of cooking and smoking, and it is fun. It's a sport. I love to cook for other people. So I've been, the steaks, and I did a big beef brisket for the 4th, and I did all of these things. But I haven't eaten red meat in 11 years. So I don't eat red meat, right? So I don't even have an urge to even try the beef or the pork that I make. And so, and I love...
Oh, that would be so hard.
And it's not hard for me. And I love feeding others. Well, as I was sitting there thinking about that, I'm thinking, like, I don't even have, like, I don't have an urge to cheat with this. But every other food in the world, I can't control myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm thinking, all right, something's got to change. And I just need to be better. And the truth of the matter is that you would think, like, okay, well, gee, you can eat some chicken. Like, oh, okay, cool. You know what
fish.
I mean? Like, I'll eat mm-hmm. some chicken, or you eat some fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about me, right? Like, I know myself. I might get the fish, or I might get the chicken. It's like, I have everything but baked chicken breast. I have every other type of weighed chicken. I have it fried. I have it sauteed. You know what I mean?
Deep-fried shrimp.
You know what I mean? Deep-fried shrimp, deep-fried catfish. Like, you want everything that's healthy to be made to be unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I am liking about being vegan is, look, I'm not going to sit here and say I have this, oh, it's this save the animals thing. That's not me. This is me. This is me being selfish. This is me about trying to save myself from myself, right? Like, and I'm not trying to look down on anybody else that doesn't do it or anything. So it's kind of a challenge. But I want to give a big thank you, because somebody in April by the name of MC Pearson sent me, and I don't know why she sent this to me, but she did, sent me a package with magazines talking about, you know, the vegan lifestyle and things that you can eat and ideas. And there's a few.
Oh, I think I know why she sent that to you. Because remember that conversation that we had about, I think it was a scenarios, and some guy was complaining about his wife being vegan and some kind of odor.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
You're right. Well, and I mean, but the thing about this listener, MC Pearson, is that she didn't just send me magazines. She sent me magazines. She opened up to different covers. She highlighted things for me. She wrote notes for me. And so the other day when I was thinking about being vegan, I saved this. I didn't throw it out. By the way, even when I get some of the hate mail, I don't throw that out either. I keep that as well. Anyway, but I kept it. And so I refer to it, and it has been really good for me, and it's been really fun,
right? So day six. So what, are you missing anything?
No. No, I'm not having any cravings.
And when you say vegan, so that means, because you're not.
I'm not having.
Yeah, you're not even having milk.
I'm not having milk. And as you guys know, I have this problem, this addiction to cheese. Okay. Now, people are texting in probably like, oh, no, G, I'm the same way. No, you don't understand. My addiction with cheese is I eat a lot of it when nobody's looking. I can't control it. I mean, an entire lot. Like one time, you know how you just go get a block of cheese or something like that, and it might be $8-9 or something. And you're like, okay, you know, get some cheese and some crackers. I'm eating the entire block. Okay.
I get it. My thing is ice cream. I get it.
You know, so that's my thing. So I've been, it's been good. I've been having my oatmeal in the morning, and then during a little break, using the 11 o'clock break, I go down and I have a little. I have avocado toast, and I've been getting a lot of vegetables. And one thing I've been learning with this vegan stuff is like, I'm finding out like, oh man, I didn't know that food was good. I didn't know that food was good. And so you start learning about different things that are fun, and it's just good to explore things. So
is Lillian doing the vegan route too with you?
No, Lillian just thinks, she doesn't pay attention to me. She's like, oh yeah, what are you doing? You know, Lillian's like, what are you doing today?
This is the latest fad. Well, good
for you. Yeah, it's the latest fad. Yeah, I know. I know she thinks that. But yeah, I'm on day six, and I keep reminding myself, day six. You know, will I feel better on day 12? I don't know. We'll see.
I love it, though. You're trying something a little different during the pandemic.
How come Chef's quiet?
I'm just proud that you're cooking for yourself now, G.
I know.
You know what, Chef? I shouldn't even have asked your opinion.
Good for you, man.
Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about one U.S. city has proposed for cops to not be the ones that are in charge of traffic stops. We discuss that next. It's the G and Ursa Show.